I would sign all of your paychecks. We'd be doing this show 5 days a week, and I'd be paying you to be.
I would love that.
Because consequently, that's the only way I get people to be around me like 5 days a week. If I pay them or marry them and cook.
Sounds like a winning deal. I'm in.
I mean, I don't mind the cooking part, right? It's fine. At least I know what I'm eating every night. I hate that picture of me so much.
Oh, I love it. I've come to terms with it.
I still haven't. I think it was the break going to Mexico. I forgot about it. Took a week off. Didn't have to see it for 2 weeks. But maybe I spaced out last week because my feet hurt. But
maybe you see it now and you recognize a different person in the mirror, just a tanner, happier, more carefree person. You got the braids with the shells in your hair still.
Those are already gone. They're already gone.
But you just see it and you're like, look at this city boy smiling.
Well, you know, enough about whatever the hell we were just talking about. We have two awesome guests joining us today, guys. We are doing a half PPR Superflex mock draft, and we've got some questions from listeners that we'll answer here at the end of the show. But first, I want to introduce our guests. We'll start with Tyler O from JWB Fantasy and Dynasty Warzone, where he does DFS content. Tyler, thank you so much for coming on with us today. And then we've also got Mike Faea from DLF Football. Mike, thank you so much for coming on with us today. I feel like I forgot something, and I feel like I'm a jerk.
Would you forget the company we both work for with Trophy Smack back in the day? Yeah. That's a big one. Did you forget how to spell Tyler's last name, or are we just going to pretend like he doesn't have one?
I pretend like I don't have one.
You pretend like he doesn't have one. So
Tyler O is a brand.
I just pronounce it differently every time.
Everyone does. Yeah. I think my football coach got it wrong until my senior year when someone else corrected him. I was like, dude, it's fine. You've been doing it for years now. Let's just keep it going.
That's the spirit.
Dude, I have friends I've known my entire life that still can't say my last name. It is what it is.
That's fair. I mean, you don't know how to say my last name either, Nate, so we're all good.
Is it Faella or Faella?
Yeah, it's Faella. I'm not Spanish, bro. I'm Italian. We say our own. You went full, like, fourth grade Spanish Mayamo on that one.
And what's so dumb is that I know that.
I'm not even mad at you. I like it. It has a nice sound to it. It sounds like paella. It sounds delicious. So we're not going to
I feel like that. You're going to squeeze me extra hard in a week when we see each other at the expo, and I'm going to pay for it then in my ribs.
No, that's fair.
But it's okay. I deserve it. Guys, we've already got some comments in the chat. We have got Jimmo the Icon, who is drafting with us, saying, hello, gentlemen. Jimmo, it's so nice to see you. Thank you for tuning in. We've got Toronto Again. Dave, who we will hopefully be seeing in a week. It's going to be amazing. We've got Jamie Parag, friend of the show, who says, what is up, everyone? We've got OAT Boy, who is drafting with us, saying, these guests are awesome. I could not
Mike agree and more. Tyler. Mike and Tyler, how do you say that guy's name?
His name's Nate or Nathan. It's right. A great name. I think some of us would agree, but
strong name.
We say Oit Boy. It's Oit Boy.
Oit Boy.
I have no idea.
So put the accent on it.
I have Oit Boy. I have absolutely no idea where it comes from. I think he's told me once, but we'll just leave it at that.
All right, guys, we've also got Harry Persalco in the chat saying, let's get it. Jimmo's excited to see Dave. We're all excited to see Dave every time. We've got Albert saying, hello, everyone. Albert, thank you for tuning in again. Guys, I don't think we should waste any more time. Let's go ahead and do you want to get over to this draft?
Yeah, sure. I'm on the clock, so.
We're paying you? I didn't know that.
I hope so. I mean, I didn't want to do this for free.
Well, here we are, guys. We have got our mock draft up and ready to go. Just to reiterate here, and I will pop it up on the screen for everyone who is watching so they know what our settings are. This is a half PPR Superflex mock draft. The rosters are as follows. We have one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, three flex spots, and one super flex spot. We will be drafting starting positions only. We are not getting into the benches today. Guys, I think it's time that we get at it. So let's get this draft started here. First person on the clock, it's Mike. And here we go. Off to the races. So first pick here, we've got Patrick Mahomes. That's really no surprise to me. You guys, Tyler, what are you seeing in these drafts? Is Patrick Mahomes coming off the board? If it's super flex, it just kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tier here. I think it's a tier four. I picked four. I'll get to that. But I have no qualms with it any way you kind of split this up. But I do think Mahomes is probably the safest and best choice to throw here at the 101. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. So let's roll.
All right, now, Matt, what do you think of this second pick? We've got Josh Allen going ahead of Jalen Hurts, which we haven't seen a ton of so far this draft season. Are you okay with that, or would you rather have Hurts with that second pick?
Just looking at the numbers, Josh Allen's – Jalen Hurts has been way more exciting over the last, you know, as memory serves. But Josh Allen spent most of the last year injured, I think, after week, like, two or five. So we don't really remember how good he is, but he's – he hits top three quarterbacks in like 50% of his starts. It's okay if you want to take Josh Allen over Jalen Hurts. It's okay the way you want to do it.
Now, Mike, with Josh Allen over Jalen Hurts, does it concern you that Allen has been vocal about not wanting to run the ball as much? I mean, he could take a hit if he's not getting that goal line usage. So does that concern you taking Allen over Hurts here?
It doesn't, no. I mean, he's an instinctive player. Once the games are on the line, he's going to do what it takes. He's going to get those dives. And to be quite honest, if you take a look at the way the team's set up, they don't have much else in that backfield. I don't care what people say about about Cook. Damian Harris is the only other option at the goal line. I think Allen's going to get the ball. He's going to put it in there. And what they're also going to do is they're going to feed Diggs. They want Diggs to be happy, and obviously it's picked up. Dalton Kincaid, they're going to use as a big slot. So I think Allen is going to get plenty of touchdowns, whether through the air or on the ground. I love the pick, it too. I think Chester hit the nail on the head. Like, I hurt Josh Allen was quarterback three last year, if I'm not mistaken. So what's healthy Josh Allen going to do? I think it's wheels up. I was actually considering it one, so I have no qualms with him going two at all.
So, yeah, I like the point you made because people are concerned about Damian Harris coming into that offense and taking away goal line touches from Allen. But, guys, it's Damian Harris. I mean, Harris. He's fine, but he's not going to take goal line carries away from a guy like Josh Allen. Now, Tyler, I want to ask you about your fourth pick. You took Lamar Jackson there. Correct. Why Jackson over Burrow?
It's a pretty easy choice for me. I honestly have – that's where the tier break is between Burrow and Lamar. Lamar is in the top tier for me. I mean, I think we've seen the elite upside. We've seen the QB1 ceiling in the past. I think the OC change, I'm real bullish on the offense this year. I think he arguably has the best set of wide receivers that he's ever had. You know, how they really – you know, how it really, like, works out with the wide receivers in fantasy is a different story. But the best pass catchers he's ever had, I think the OC is going to really amp things up. He's still an elite runner. It's a pretty easy choice for me. I think Lamar is a no-brainer 104.
Now, where do you have Zay Flowers right now?
If I have to go down my list right now, probably like fringe wide receiver two, probably like that 24 to 26 range. I like the guy a lot, but I'm still, want to see it.
Now, Mike, I want to ask you about, I took Justin Fields over Justin Herbert. How do you feel about that?
I don't hate it. I'll be honest. This is a play where you're looking to win the league. And I think it all comes down to, do you want to win or you want to make sure you don't lose in the first round? Fields definitely has the upside when you look at the rushing. He may be, and Des Bryant just said it today, could be the best dual threat quarterback in the league this year. He has that kind of talent. They picked up DJ Moore. I think that this is the year they're going to try to get the best out of Fields. So I love it. You know, he's not coming back, especially with Gemmo in the draft, a Bears fan, that's never going to happen. So, I don't mind the pick. I would have went Herbert personally. That's just me, but I like swinging for the fences at that spot on a guy is not going to come back. In this first round, when you're talking about these top eight picks, get your guy because they're not coming back. I'm not going to get upset about any pick because they're not making the turn back to you. So if Fields is your guy, go for it.
Awesome. And that's a – something I can't stress enough, and Mike, nail on the head here, get your guy. Don't make people feel bad about you reaching a little bit for a player that you love. Now, speaking of reaching, we've got Ja'Marr Chase going in the first round at 112. Now, I understand it's half PPR, but we have teams now at the corner, Ja'Marr Chase, Bijan Robinson. Matt, how does that turn make you feel? Given this format, and knowing the quarterbacks that were still left on the board, would you have gone Ja'Marr Chase and Bijan Robinson there at the turn?
I was disappointed that I had to take Lawrence just because he kind of is in that tier. I was also planning on going late QB. It just didn't work out. I don't hate it at all. I would be very happy if those were my picks of the first two rounds at two, you know, where I am now, what, 1-9 and 204? I'd be perfectly okay leaving the draft with Ja'Marr Chase and Bijan Robinson and hoping to
also,
get some...
you've got 23 seconds left to make your
okay. Pick. Okay.
All right.
I better figure something
so
out.
So now we've got Travis Kelce lasting until the 202. Tyler, does that surprise you in this format?
I would say, you know, considering the format, I'm all right with it. Probably would have took a couple players before Kelce, but I think, you know, mid-second round is a pretty good spot.
Yep, I agree. Even if it's not tight end premium, he's the wide receiver one in Kansas City. So
tier of his own. Tier of his own.
Wow. Oh, Matt.
What's up, buddy?
Matt just took Kyler Murray with the 204 pick.
Oh. So
I got confused. Is this a dynasty or not?
No.
Wait, it's not?
No,
it's this is your show.
Let's go. Yeah, okay, let's go.
But at the top of the screen, it says Dynasty.
It does say Dynasty. And that says Dynasty Diehards.
Right. That is the name. That is the name of the brand. I thought, right?
You think that I'm worried about this? I'm not worried about this. Let's go.
Hey Matt, welcome to your show. It's called Dynasty Diehards, buddy.
Man, redraft mock Dynasty Diehards.
Well, hey, it's redraft season. Which this is actually. Thank you for giving me that segue here. We're going to be transitioning to this slot. Waiver wise, it's going to be a new show with Matt and I, still here on the Razzball Network, still at the same time, 6 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. We're going to be covering the guys who slip through waivers that you should be looking at targeting for free in your leagues heading into that week. It's going to be a lot of fun. But let's get back to this.
You're about to time out, buddy.
Yep, I did just time out. So I'm going to go ahead because I was pitching our show.
I know, but people are waiting for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Well, now here, I switched it to McCaffrey.
All right.
Because I like Christian McCaffrey this year. I even like what I really like about McCaffrey is that he's got Elijah Mitchell. Less chance he gets hurt. And he can do more with less volume, I think, in that San Francisco offense. Mike, am I crazy?
Yeah, you absolutely are. But I appreciate the sentiment. His numbers with Mitchell back, stuff where you have to rely more on the pass catching ability. And honestly, there's a lot of people catching passes in that offense. So I don't see how that helps him, but if he stays healthy, he's worth the pick regardless. He's just that guy. He's that
star. you're leading from the situation into the point is that the benefit of Elijah Mitchell being there, and they basically split touches when they were both on the field last year. I think it was like 65 to 68, something like that. It was almost identical. So he would get all the Christian McCaffrey type touches. And even if he only gets like 6 targets a game, I think he'll still be able to do difference making things.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, he's the most talented running back in football, so I'm not worried about him being a difference maker, Mitchell there or not. But it's definitely a concern of volume and volume being king for a running back, right? I just don't think it helps him. Like, that's the thing. I don't see it as helping him. I think that does it hurt him a ton? No. Do I like the ADP drop because Mitchell's back? Yes. But it's not an overall positive in my opinion.
Okay, so let's stay on this San Francisco topic here for a minute. Deebo Samuel, how are you guys feeling about him? Tyler, let's start with you. Do you think there's any chance he can replicate his 2020 season, or like are we just chasing a ghost here?
I don't think he's replicating that, but I still like his ADP. I like where he's at. He's currently sitting around like wide receiver 16, 17 for me. I think I'm appreciating people pushing Ayuk up the boards. I'm on the Ayuk fade this year in terms of where we see him in his ADP, and I'm here for the Deebo Samuel train. So, yes, I'm not like reaching on Samuel, but I absolutely am drafting Samuel. Like it a lot.
Mike, what about you? Where are you at on – are you drafting Deebo Samuel right now?
Oh, yeah, of course. Deebo is a dual threat. He's going to get the ball in multiple different ways. I don't understand how anybody could be off on Deebo. I think we've tried to hype Ayuk for the past few years. I don't see him fully taking over. I think Kittle's going to be there. But you are playing a little roulette with these players. Like, there's going to be games where you're happy you have them. There's going to be games where you're wondering why they're disappearing. And Purdy seems to be a Drew Brees-style quarterback where he's going to throw to who's open rather than targeting a specific person. So that will get frustrating, but I think it's a high-powered offense, so I'm not worried about it.
Okay, so now let's get back into this draft here for a minute. We've got me on the clock, Matt, I'm going to throw it to you. I want to know what you think about Tua Tagovailoa going at 210. Is that early? Is that late? Like, how do you feel about his valuation right now in these drafts?
I think in seasonal leagues, he should go ahead of Richardson and he should go ahead of Kyler Murray. So if you're okay with those picks, even early, it's hard to get on board, and I've got so much Tua in Dynasty. I'm swimming. But, you know, if he's healthy, he's going to be worth it. He's definitely going to be worth it. You're going to luck out with Jalen Hurts and Tua.
Yep, sure. I just did an underdog draft earlier this afternoon where I got Tua in the seventh round.
Ooh.
Couldn't believe he fell that far. I understand the injury concerns. I do. I get it. But, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, he doesn't have any more of a chance of getting concussed this season as he would have had he never suffered the concussions last year.
And you know what? He. I don't know how much it makes a difference with head injuries, but he put on a bunch of weight. He looks very beefed up and, like, Samoan ready, you know? And then 100%. He's been doing yoga, so everybody's doing everything they can. And the thing that hurt him most probably 2 years ago was the fact that he had nobody to throw to at all, right? He was thrown to guys who aren't in the league anymore, without a doubt. And he was getting protected by the worst offensive line in the league. And over the last 2 years, they've picked up awesome wide receivers. And over the last 1 year, they've started picking up linemen finally. So if they can fix that one piece and he can be protected back there, he can cut him apart with those weapons and his accuracy. I'll be very happy if he succeeds.
Okay. Now, sticking with Miami, Mike, I want to ask you, are you interested in any of these Miami running backs? We've got Jeff Wilson, Devin Achane, and Raheem Mostert, Miles Gaskin, Salvin Ahmed, any of them?
Dalvin Cook. Big time interested in Dalvin Cook when he gets to the Dolphins. if you're going to take one, it's Achane. When you're talking about a split backfield like this is going to be, if Cook doesn't end up there, give me the guy who could take it to the house from any point on the field. So I'll be taking Achane late and hoping that he breaks out Chris Johnson style. But that's the way you have to look at these muddied backfields, is who's the person who could make your week with one or two plays. And, you know, it's probably not going to be Jeff Wilson. We know what he is. So you're talking about speed guys in Mostert and Achane. I'm going to go with the young kid and hope that we hit a home run with Devin Achane, a guy that I really love in his own blocking scheme in the McDaniel offense. So I think he has a chance to win a couple weeks for you.
Yep. I agree. You, and in this situation, like you said, we know what Jeff Wilson is. We know what Raheem Mostert is too. These guys have a history of getting injured. Not calling anyone injury prone, just stating facts. These guys don't play full seasons. And if Achane can be the guy who plays the full season, I think there's a lot of value there. Now, Josh Jacobs, 405. Do you guys, we'll start with you, Tyler. Does Josh Jacobs play this year? And does he play for Las Vegas or do they trade him?
I think he plays this year for Las Vegas. I'm usually like, if a player is going to threaten to sit out, I'm usually going to take the ADP dip, which we obviously see here at the 4-5, and I'm going to be drafting those players and take that risk. So, absolutely. I mean, I'm betting on Josh Jacobs playing. I think he plays. I don't really have a lot of concern. I feel like we do this dance almost every single year with a couple running backs or a couple players threatening to sit out, and except for like Le'Veon Bell, they all end up playing. So, I would be betting he plays.
Now, Matt, if Josh Jacobs ends up getting traded, is Zamir White worth a look in any format?
Not for me. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. There's nothing that we saw. They gave it to Josh Jacobs because he could handle it, and he did. And I don't think that it's going to be there's a replacement for him. And I agree with Ty. I think he's going to end up just going back home. I think the same thing about Zeke. It's kind of why I'm not buying into Chubb too much. I mean, there's a lot of situations that could just fall exactly to precedence. You know,
sure.
Dalvin Cook going back home, it's not a great time to buy, but I'll sell if anybody believes more than I do.
So you mentioned Dalvin Cook, and we've got really three big name running backs still out there. If you big name, maybe they don't have a lot left in the tank, but we've got Dalvin Cook, obviously, Leonard Fournette, and Ezekiel Elliott. Tyler, do any of those three guys, do you think any of them are fantasy relevant this season? Cook probably has the best chance, but with Lenny Fournette and with Ezekiel Elliott, are they going to land somewhere where they're going to have enough opportunity?
I would bet on Leonard Fournette out of all of them. Just, I think at cost, because I think Dalvin still goes well above Leonard Fournette at this point. But I do like drafting Leonard Fournette late in drafts, because I think the pass catching role that I think is what he's excelled at this age, like, not a very efficient runner anymore. Still a good pass blocker, but I still think he's a good pass catcher, and we want our running backs to catch passes. And I think wherever he does end up going, he's going to be catching passes, and we like that, you know, half PPR, full PPR. So I've been, you know, out of those running backs you just mentioned, the guy that I've been, you know, drafting the most of, especially at cost, is going to be Leonard Fournette.
Mike, just real quick, I want to say I love that turn getting Hockenson and Geno. I love it. Geno Smith shouldn't be going as late as he's going. I don't understand it. The guy's going to be a top 10 QB this season, and you're getting him in the fifth round?
Yeah. It's
What's one that of those, about?
It's one of those things where people don't really understand math. And if we're going to rate Metcalf, Lockett, and JSN as high as we are, that means Geno's probably going to be pretty good. Unless they're planning on running some halfback pass options that I don't know about. Maybe Ken Walker or Charbonnet have an arm. I'm not certain. But otherwise, the only way those wide receivers finish at their ADP is if their quarterback goes for 4,030. So I'll take that late. I will say, though, the mix and pick kind of kicked me right in the crotch, because I was actually going Mixon and Geno there, and had to pivot to the tight end, because that was the end of my tier there with I was looking at Ramondre and Mixon, and that stung quite a bit. So
it does hurt when you get sniped. I got sniped earlier today in a startup on Sam Laporta, pick right before me. I was very sad.
He shouldn't be. He's not good at football.
Where was it? Well, where'd you get sniped?
You know what, Mike?
What? I'm just because
he
to
played
help
it. He just played it. He played at Iowa. Crappy offense. Dude's talented. They already love him. And Jameson Williams looks like he's going to suck. Dan Campbell doesn't seem to be happy.
Yeah, but they took Jahmyr Gibbs, who's going to catch a lot of passes.
That's a fair point. That's
On Ross St. Brown's going to get targeted 365 times, I think.
God, I mean, hope so.
I like Laporta long term, but I definitely have some, you know, just concerns out the gate here. But there's worse tight ends to take in terms of upside, so like I don't hate it. Especially, I mean,
that's
depends where you take them.
Yeah, yeah. There's worse. That's Tyler disagreeing with you very as politely as possible. There's worse people you could have taken, like Musgrave.
There are definitely worse people.
If you're gonna take Laporta like tight end like 16 or 17, like I have no qualms.
Yeah,
I have no qualms.
Yeah. Oh no, and that's where I'm taking him. I wouldn't take him higher than that. Too much risk involved. But he could be a top 10. I mean, the position's a wasteland. That's why I love tight ends. I love fighting with myself every week about which one's going to be better. It's what we do, right? All right, guys. So this draft has been pretty interesting. Damian Pierce in the fifth round. Now, they got Devin Singletary. Damian Pierce was okay. I don't think there was anything stellar about him last season. He flashed a couple of times, looked decent. Realistically, can Damian Pierce really live up to his ADP as an RB2? Even I kind of have him slated as maybe he gets into that mid RB3 range, but I just see with that offense, there's too much competition from Singletary. You've got CJ Stroud in there now. Tyler, where do you land on that offense in general and Damian Pierce?
I'm cautious. I'm below market. I would not be drafting Damian Pierce there. I mean, I would be. I have Miles Sanders, Dobbins, Akers, and that is who I have above Pierce. I get the argument for Pierce. I think Miles Sanders for me is a tier above Pierce. I'm with you. I think everyone likes to say, you know, Singletary sucks, but at the end of the day, he earns touches. He gets them. And I'm afraid that volume that we were accustomed to seeing with Damian Pierce is not going to be as robust as we've seen. So I think he's a good fringe RB2, RB3, but I think where he was taken here is a little rich for my blood. That'd have been a Miles Sanders over Damian Pierce, no questions asked.
Can we say that he's maybe the last bit of remnants from the last few years actually did have a dead zone for RBs, and it was because of what we think that we probably expect from Damian Pierce this year. That's what pushes him into the fifth, right? It's kind of like saying Montgomery has been a fourth-round pick because he's just going to get the thing, but it doesn't really matter all that much.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just trying to fill your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, there's projectable volume there with Damian Pierce, but it's just I think I lack to see. I just can't see that upside that would deserve to go where he goes. So I'm below market.
The reason that we liked him last year is because he was basically free to begin with, and he got like 12 to 14 points a game, which is not exciting. It's not weak winning. And you know who else did that? Devin Singletary. For his whole career, he's gotten like 10 to 14 points reliably. So good luck fighting over those 10 to 14 points, guys.
Yeah. It's like I can't draft Singletary because like there's really no upside there with Damian Pierce there. But I think Singletary is going to be a thorn in Pierce owner's side enough to where they're going to be pretty frustrated on a week-to-week basis.
He'll pierce his side.
Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
And we just lost 8 viewers. Thanks, man.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. Gone. All right, Mike. So I want to ask you, we're going to stick with the Texans here. Uh-huh. Are there any wide receivers that you're willing to roster in this offense at all?
Yeah, you have to at some point. I mean,
nice pick, Matt.
Every draft you have to take somebody from each team. I guess it's like a baseball all-star draft. for me, I did like Mechie coming out. I like the story. So if nothing else, you get kind of good vibes for having them on your roster, which I think is always important. Like good vibes are what make your team good. Bad vibes make it bad. Like life is pretty simple that way. So
big locker room mentality.
Yeah, I like that. After that, I think I would go Nico, then Nathaniel Dell, like in that order. But yeah, you're not looking at him anywhere before like the 15th, 16th round. These aren't high value targets. So,
all right, Tyler, any interest in Dalton Schultz in that offense at all?
So he's like in this range where it's like, I have him ranked as like a fringe tight end one, but like you can make the argument for Higbee, Njoku, Kincaid, Gerald Everett, Dulcich around that same tier. So it's like I like Dalton Schultz, but at the same time, I'm just in a spot where like usually just let other people take him. I think there's a world where he sees some volume to be pretty usable, where he's like consistent. I don't really see the upside path for him on this offense, but I mean, that's kind of where I said it's like unexciting, right? I think if it's like tight end premium, sure. I think there's a little more excitement there because I think he's going to get a decent amount of volume. But at the same time, like he's in this big group of tight ends that are like, oh, they could probably be a low end tight end one. And it's like, I'd rather just wait to grab other guys who could probably be a tight end one.
Sure. And I'm with you. I'm not excited about Dalton Schultz. Is anybody here excited about Dalton Schultz? If you are, raise your hand.
No, because literally anybody could be a tight end one. Zylstra next
that's
year.
That's true.
Three touchdown games and be a tight end.
Zylstra just hit the IR. He's out for the season. But
yeah, he's not going to be that guy. He can do it.
That's how bad the position is. He's on
that's
IR.
What I'm saying.
He can
come back in week 11 and just Gary Barnage his way into fantasy into dynasty relevance next season. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean the fact is you're looking at this is the easiest term I've ever had. Really, thank you guys. That is as simple as it gets, but. This is where volume matters, and Schultz is going to get volume. That's the thing. And with tight ends, once you get past that premium level, which we're coming to the end of right now, there's a couple more names I like here, but you bet on volume because the best way to luck into a touchdown is get the ball thrown to you. And Schultz is going to get volume. So in a tight end premium, you have to like the upside of how many times they're going to try to get him the ball. And CJ Stroud is an accurate passer. That's a good thing for him. And what do young quarterbacks love? Safety blankets that are going across the middle. So I am excited for him at cost. I think he's dirt cheap and has a higher, potential outcome than a lot of the guys going ahead of him. Cole Kmet's a good comp, I think, where I would have Schultz ahead of Kmet because of the situation.
Easy.
Right, but that's where he's going, Tyler. So when you're making that choice, you're smashing Dalton Schultz. Dulcich, Okonwo, like those guys, I like Schultz's opportunity for 1 year better than any of them. Dynasty's a different story, of course, but in redraft, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Okay. I can get on board with that. I can get on board. You sold me, Mike.
What I'm here for.
It's that pretty face.
And that was the other guy I was looking at was Godwin. I love that pick.
Yeah. I started off like pretty RB heavy, but to land with my three wide receivers being Debo, Ridley, and Godwin here, I'm pretty ecstatic for how that landed. Maybe there's a couple people in the chat that still might think this is dynasty, but I'm going to take the W for myself here.
Can you imagine if this wasn't Chris Godwin's big year 2020?
Sounds about right, where he's like,
and wasn't Debo Samuel's also 2020, and wasn't Calvin really – You have the best team.
Rewind the clock. 2020. Rewind the clock.
Back it up.
Oh, I don't want to screw this up.
Do Godwin's big season was 2019. He's wide receiver 2, 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, 121 targets, 86 catches.
I think people are sleeping on Godwin a little bit this season, frankly. I think people are just kind of looking at the Tampa Bay offense and completely writing them off, which is fair to a lot of, you know, when you look at it. But at the end of the day, I think they're going to be throwing the ball a hell of a lot. I still think Evans and Godwin are both talented wide receivers. I frankly don't care if it's Trask or Mayfield. I hope it's Mayfield, which kind of sounds weird to say out loud. But I've been getting a lot of Godwin and Evans late as kind of my wide receiver threes, which I think is an absolute smash.
If you ever get them at wide receiver 3, I'm fine with it. If they start to creep up into that middle to upper wide receiver 2 range, I'm not okay with it. Especially if it's Baker Mayfield, because we've seen him ruin guys from a fantasy perspective and a real football perspective. So I definitely have some concern with Godwin, but going in the 7th round, I don't have as much concern. I think that that's a pretty good valuation for him. Going ahead of Pickens, Ayuk, Marquise Brown. He's going ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, which is kind of crazy that Hopkins is going that late.
Yeah, agreed. It was between Hopkins and Godwin. It was between Hopkins and Godwin for me.
Sure. So, okay, Mike, Hopkins in Tennessee. Can he have an A.J. Brown-type season when A.J. Brown is in Tennessee, or are we chasing fool's gold with Hopkins this season?
If you're chasing an A.J. Brown season, yeah. There's a middle ground, though, which is he could have a low-end wide receiver 1 season. I think he will. I think Tannehill's still a serviceable quarterback, and if you know they go to Levis, if nothing else, he has an arm. We know that. It may not be a great one, but he can throw the football. And Hopkins, if you put the football near him, goes and gets it. But I think expecting him – this is the problem, is that we look at, you know, laundry and we decide that guys are going to be this or they're going to be that. And A.J. Brown is a special player that DeAndre Hopkins at age 30 or 31 is not going to match. But he is looking at 1,010, in my opinion, which is a hell of a season for where you're picking him up in ADP. So I love grabbing him everywhere I can. I think he's highly underrated, but – but yeah, if you think you're getting AJ Brown in the 7th round, you're going to be sad. You're going to be disappointed, and that's unfortunate because you're going to miss out on what's a really good season from Hopkins. So,
sure, and I think it's interesting how anytime you have an elite receiver replace an elite receiver, whether it's same season or the next or whatever it is, instantly, oh, DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to look what AJ Brown did. He can do that. So yeah, but you see that so much in fantasy football. But getting him in the 7th round, you're going to get exactly what you paid for drafting him in the 7th round, just like you said.
You're going to get a lot more than what you pay for. I think a lot of people that listen to us and a lot of people play sleeper have the dynasty mindset. So they're like, all right, well, DeAndre Hopkins at 7-11, like 7-8 turn. This dude got DeAndre Hopkins and Keenan Allen probably two rounds later for Keenan than he should have. And
this dude, it's Nathan. 3 rounds. That's Oak Boy. Okay.
Oh,
that's
God Nathan. Damn it, Nathan. Nate?
He knows what he's doing.
Oh, boy knows
what he's doing out here.
He does know what he's doing. He's got a pretty scary team. He's got a really scary team, to be
honest.
He's
a redraft maven. He's a maven.
He is, obviously. And we've all got dynasty brains. We're happy to be here on Sleeper. And I'm picking Kyler Murray in the 2nd round because I didn't read the instructions before coming to the show. Sorry, guys. Long work day. And then you show up
freaking
Nate from the chat shows up and just crushes us. You're not allowed to say names that haven't been taken yet, right? But
We'll bank it and come back to it.
Okay.
Yeah, those mm-hmm. picks hurt. I was going Lockett, and I was super excited about it.
Oh, but I like Zay Flowers. Yeah, he's the wide receiver 1 in that Baltimore offense. Matt, you know how much I love Zay Flowers.
Yeah, I do. And yeah, he is.
I really like that turn for you, Mike. You've had 3 really great turns in a row.
Yeah, I do this for a living. I don't know if you know that. So I've been pretty good.
You know, time. Mike, I looked that up on the internet, and that is untrue. I couldn't even find any. As a conspiracy theorist, I looked everywhere, high and low, and they said, Mike Fiala, the last thing I could find was you wrote an article before last preseason?
Yeah, right? No, I don't do it a lot.
The whole article was just penis, 845 penis.
I don't do it a lot, but when I do, it's great because they give me money for it, which is cool. But yeah, no, honestly, Matt, where you, you know, if you really want to see my work, what I need you to do is get an XM radio and tune in tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Because I'll be on the radio, not, you know, in print.
So hell yeah, baby.
That's where you can find.
So for the, in case people are listening tomorrow, what's your time? What's your schedule that we should listen?
So it'll be 11 to like 11:25 on with my man Bob Harris and Mike Dempsey on Football Die Hard. So check it out, 11:25 to like 11:28, depending on how long the segment goes. But but yeah, it'll be a blast
Thursday night.
Yeah, that's, it is awesome. Rapid fire. It is wild. It's the most stressful show I do, but the most fun. Like 30 minutes feels like 4 minutes because it's going so fast. So we have
it goes so fast.
Yeah, and Bob is honestly like one of the best living human beings in the world. Mike is outstanding, and I can't wait to pick his brain because he's the voice of the Jags, and I want to hear about this backfield. So I'm going to try to get some stuff from him while I'm on too.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's super important to all of us. Like, how much work is Tank Bigsby going to get is going to literally swing dynasty leagues. It's a wildly important thing we have coming into the offseason, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Mike, thank you for the work you do in asking the hard questions and getting into the places to ask the hard questions. Because I think Tank Bigsby is going to hurt Etienne's value. Personally.
I love that y'all are telling me who to buy. You guys shouldn't be saying names that are still on the board. This is completely against.
Oh yeah, no, that is perfect because drafts, that's a horrible pick drafts, by you. You can't, like, it's a terrible pick.
Players that are still available, because then everybody exposes what they think about it, or there's just this giant lying game, which could be fun. But look, etiquette says you guys shouldn't not. I'm blaming Tank Bigsby on y'all if he busts.
No, this was a 10-round draft. So talking about a guy who shouldn't go in at the first 10 rounds of a redraft league is totally fine. It's like Zylstra. Like, we didn't break any rules here. You just made the mistake in picking him. No, I never said he was a pick for redraft. I simply said he might hurt ETN. I don't even remember saying he was good. I just said I was going
to
ask.
Look, this is when I pay attention to about a third of what happens right now, then everything is just propaganda, because just skimming off the top of my brain and like letting things sink in, I'm like, oh, Tank Bigsby? Yeah, haha, I gotcha.
Yo, you really sniped me there. He was almost on my board.
But I like him because his name's Tank.
He's a running B? Big old
what
tank.
More do you want? He's a tank. All right, well, we're rolling into the last round. Mike Evans just went with the 10th round first pick. His value for a guy who hasn't been under 1,000 yards a single season in his career, eventually we know he's going to fall off, right? It's going to happen.
Certainly.
But I don't – is it this year?
I don't think so. I mean, he's going so late that I'm going to keep – I mentioned I'm going to keep swinging on Evans. I would have probably taken Evans. I would have taken Evans at the 9-4 had I not taken Godwin. I'm not that silly that I'm going to take Godwin and Evans. But – I'm absolutely here for when Evans like eclipses that kind of wide receiver 30 range, which he usually does. So, I mean, I love the pick.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, even if he has 900 yards and 5 touchdowns, that's a great place to get him here in the 10th round. Now we've got Brock Purdy going 10-02. It's Oit Boy's second quarterback. Are you guys confident having Brock Purdy as your second quarterback? Are we confident he is actually going to be the starter?
Absolutely. I'm locked in. Love it.
Wow. Yeah. Great. That's a strong statement.
No concerns.
Why would you think he's the starter? What evidence do you have besides Twitter people who looked at North Dakota State film from 2019 to make you think that Brock Purdy's not the starter? Because a guy who played 3 games in the NFL and sat out 2020, like, people have built up Trey Lance to be something. The guys that made him a top 3 pick don't like him. The people that have the most to lose aren't playing him. Like, that's a pretty good sign that Brock Purdy's the starter. And if you want to use his, you know, draft capital as the reason why you think he's good, the team that looks stupid isn't playing him. That's an important fact. If it was a different regime that drafted him that was still there, I'd say, well, maybe there's a mismatch in fit. But no, these are the guys that drafted him. They traded up for him. They gave up a ton
for Trey Lance, and they don't want to see him on the field. That is the red flag of all red flags. Like, it's like if you just took a flag and just painted it red and waved it like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, like, that is what we're talking about.
I can't disagree with Mike here.
Especially after that Hacksaw Jim Duggan reference.
Of course.
Right? But here's the thing, though. They didn't trade up to draft Trey Lance. They traded up because Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. He finally got him in Brock Purdy.
Yep.
Probably maybe a slightly better version of Mac Jones if he can continue to do what he did last season. So he finally got his guy. But I think this is just further proof that Kyle Shanahan never wanted Trey Lance.
I think
never
wanted him. It's a fair narrative. It's a fair narrative.
I'm on board.
I mean, it was a narrative from day one. We all thought that it was Mac Jones. And I don't know how that many people in the media could think it was going to be Mac Jones. But then instead, Mike, your Pats got it. So
we did. And unfortunately, we got him. But, you know, here we are.
You're not feeling a little bit better about the Belichick statement? Talking about how first one in the building, last one out.
Lunch pail.
Yeah, Bailey Zappi was the first one on the field 2 days ago. Does that make him the starter for the day? No.
Hell yeah, baby.
I'm not feeling better because Belichick could have got him a weapon and decided not to. And now we have to talk about him being on the Titans. And instead we get Jalen Hurd, who now just retired. So I have nothing to look forward to. My life is hell.
It's okay. I'm a Lions fan, so it's been like that for 30 years, man. So welcome to the club. I can easy in here.
I know, but I got a taste of first class. Like, I know what it's like to sit up there. So
he's the first class. Your entire palate is first class based. And now you have to eat gumbo and you're like, this delicacy is disgusting.
It's trash. I'd feel like a peasant, and I shouldn't, because I know what it feels like to be on top of the world. And yeah, no, this is really painful. And here we are. But luckily, you know, I have fantasy football to look forward to, because, you know, real football sucks for me now. We're the most boring team. We're going to be 7-9, and I don't even care. Or
and Mike
eight,
is going
nine,
to be
how many
mattresses up top and be like, there's a pee under my bed.
Mm-hmm. I'm sad.
7-9 is a good season for me. I'm like, Lions won 7 games. Right. Like, what an absolute dub. What an absolute dub.
In Saints country, like, what do you think this has been like?
Oh, yeah. Did you guys win a Super Bowl recently?
We had a nice flash, dude, and it was right after Katrina, which I'm not going to get conspiracy minded, but it definitely helped New Orleans resurge after it was devastated.
That was a good script.
It was the perfect script. They did fantastic. It was pay those writers whatever they need. Just do it.
They're great writers.
It changes society, man. So yeah, I've been stuck in New Orleans ever since we won the Super Bowl 2 years later.
Well, there you go.
But ready for a reckoning, Mike, because I always thought that it was Bill Belichick and not Brady, and it turns out that it was always Brady.
Agreed.
Always Brady.
That was an L for me, too. That was an L for
tough,
me, too.
Man. Yeah.
Yep. Well, guys, that wraps up our mock draft. We do have a couple of listener questions. If you guys have a minute to stick around, we'd love to get to those. They're very quick, Mike. I think you're going to want to stick around for this one.
Cool. Oh, is it a Pats question? Let's go.
No, it's not a Pats question. I'm just trying to get Mike to stick around. That's all.
You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail.
That was aggressive. Here's our first question, guys.
What's up, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've got a question about the Chicago Bears backfield. Even in an ambiguous backfield, we're still usually pretty good at picking out the best options, but I feel like this year the Bears backfield is an absolute basket case. We've got Deontay Foreman, who they brought in, who was really good in Carolina last year. Roshan Johnson, the new rookie hotness, who was great behind Bijan at Texas. Khalil Herbert is still the original guy there. And then there's Justin Fields above all of that. Like, you could make a case that any one of these guys will lead the team in rushing by the end of the season. What are we doing here? Who are you drafting?
Mike, let's start with you. You look like you've got something to say here.
So Ryan McDowell and I did Locked On Dynasty, I think last week. I forget when it was, but I went into detail on this backfield because he was big into Roshan Johnson. And here's the thing, and I'm going to give you the lowdown on the Bears backfield. There is no value there. the fact is that you're going to try to look at this backfield and say, who is the best of the three? And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter, because it's not that someone has to be better than the others. They have to dominate this backfield to have any value. And we've seen Herbert flash. We saw what Foreman did in Carolina, and we saw Roschon Johnson in limited usage behind Bijan Robinson. So the fact is, if you can't get 70 to 80% of this backfield with the amount that Justin Fields is going to take in rushing, you're not going to get real value. And there's so many other players that you can pick up in that range of ADP that are going. We talked about, I'd even take a shot at Damian Harris over any of them in hopes that, you know, he gets some goal line looks. But this backfield is disgusting. And
Just another one in the same range.
Go for it.
Who just got picked up to Chase Brown? Do you feel so? Here's how I feel. If Chase Brown comes out, where did he go? If Mixon gets hurt and Chase Brown is the only guy behind him, and he comes out and puts out X amount of production for X amount of fantasy points, and then also the first day of Chicago putting up points comes out and X player puts up the same amount of points as Chase Brown, Chase Brown's going to be worth a lot more than whether it's Khalil Shakir or Deontay Foreman or whoever it's going to be. It's just, there's still going to be always that struggle where you can find way, way cheaper options who have a lot less struggle and only need to put up the same amount of fantasy points. Does that make sense?
It does. I just don't know if Brown's the guy I would use. I think really the guy that we're looking for is like a Jalen Warren. Definitely falls into that category of someone I would take over every single one of the Bears. Kendre Miller, as we're looking already at a suspension for Alvin Kamara, is somebody that I'd take over any of the Bears, both in Dynasty and in Redraft. So I think we have a lot of those types of players that we can point to that fit that narrative. Brown, for me, it's just, I don't know if I can go that far with him. I just don't know if the talent's there, and I'm actually still kind of I know he just went down, but a Travion Williams guy, he still has my heart a little bit, and I think they might be an equal mess if Mixon goes down. I don't think it's a clear-cut 1A, but the narrative fits with a lot of other players for me, and Warren and Kendre Miller are the first two that come to mind that I think are far more valuable than anything you get out of the Chicago Bears backfield.
So I wanted to get more specific, and I'm trying to throw somebody else onto the island that you're painting, right? And could Elijah Mitchell be the next one?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Elijah Mitchell is another player who I would say has more value than anything that we're going to see in that backfield. I think there's a lot of those two back sets. Obviously, anybody in Detroit, both backs are going to have far more valuable than anyone in Chicago. And I think that's the problem, is we get spun around this starter tag. But it's almost like in baseball where you talk about like a bullpen game, you're just a starter by name, but you're only going to throw two innings. That's like what's going to happen with the Bears' best back. They're going to get maybe two series. The guy you went way too high over in ADP and Tank Bigsby is a guy I would put in there as well that I would take over anybody in the Bears' backfield. There's just not a ceiling that I like for any of these guys. And you need two injuries to take off. And that's really a proposition that scares the hell out of me, because like you said, there's so many guys that are one injury away from stardom. Why would you place a bet on two injuries away?
Let's go. I'd love to hear a couple more of those one injury away guys, because I like that conversation a lot.
For sure.
I haven't heard much about Zach Evans, and I really loved him as like a final round rookie pick. Who are some of the guys like Tank Bigsby who might just be one injury away from being relevant, but also might provide some standalone value weekly?
Yeah, sure. So Evans, I'd be super careful of, because I don't know that he's even better than what they already have in Kyren Williams. I think we went off of Kyren because he was slow, but that, you know, makes no difference. But let's go through the list, right? We have obviously the situation in Washington where both backs are far more valuable than anybody in Chicago, and one injury to Brian Robinson or Antonio Gibson and the other player takes off and really jumps up. I think when we look at AJ Dillon in Green Bay is another good example of a guy who's an injury away. Damian Harris, who we talked about, Zach Charbonnet, you know, realistically Jerick McKinnon is a guy.
And Tyler Allgeier is a name I'll throw right in there as well.
Love it.
Well, and we talked about Singletary, as long as we're going from Buffalo as well. Singletary down there behind Damian Pierce. McKinnon, I feel like, is a little bit different. I feel like he breaks the mold of what we've been talking about because he might actually step up and just be primary with the way they run the offense.
He absolutely could, and he's going to have standalone value with his pass catching. We saw how many games in a row he had a pass catching touchdown, but with an injury, he jumps five tiers. Like, that's the thing, right? With an injury, he becomes a mid-round, mid-range RB2.
Who would have to get injured ahead of him? Because I don't think he would take I'm on generic Prince season.
It's Pacheco, and I think that he would play ahead of CEH if Pacheco were to go down. I think CEH would be a change of pace back, but McKinnon would get the bulk of the load. That's what we've seen with the Chiefs. So I think McKinnon has standalone value. He's a guy I love getting late, but then, yeah, with one injury to Pacheco, all of a sudden he gets a better share of the carries plus the receiving upside.
Ooh, nasty.
All right, guys, so I want to move on to our next question. It's another running back question. It's kind of another running back handcuff question. We've got this from Tony C. on Twitter. Jim Irsay may die any day now, and JT might not be in the league tomorrow, allegedly. Which running back should we add, if any, if JT isn't in Indy this season? I'm going to start and say none. Not one. I don't think there's a back in Indy if JT doesn't play in Indy. I think it's Anthony Richardson.
I like Evan Hull a little bit. If I'm going to take a shot, I mean, I think they're both free. Like, Evan Hull and Deion Jackson are pretty free right now. I think there is, like, some possible flex value. There are some people out there that really loved Evan Hull. I was not one of them, but I do see him as a back that could probably catch some passes and is a decent runner. So I went to the waivers, saw if Evan Hull was around there. I don't have extremely high expectations, but he's free. So that's where I stand on that. But I'm with you. Like, do I think there's a back that's going to be a top 20 back if JT leaves? No. No, there's not. But more value than the Chicago Bears backs. That's what I will say.
That's a fair point. Mike, would you agree here with us?
Yeah, Evan Hull is definitely the guy. It's hard to take him seriously, though, after taking every carry to the house in the combine. Dude, no one's trying to tackle you. Just stop. It's embarrassing. But other than that, I do like the fact that he has some athleticism. He can catch passes. Deion Jackson flashed a little bit. So, yeah, I did the same thing Tyler did. I went to my waiver where I actually shared in our group chat that I had grabbed a bunch of them for $1 in a live auction at the time because why not? It's a bye week play. It's not someone who's going to really take over and start for your backfield. But Evan Hull is the one we don't know if he sucks. So if you're going to take one, take the guy who maybe doesn't suck is the best I could tell you. But I do think someone will get the carries there. And I think Hull is the best bet of the bunch to actually make your lineup.
All right, Matt, anything to add?
He's an incredible athlete. He kind of got overlooked at the combine. He got drafted too late, but he's really his RAS score is out of control. He could be something, and because of that rookie factor, he could be worth probably double what the other guy's worth, even at the same production. So no matter which one comes out, if it's Deion Jackson gets you 15 points a game, he's worth. Oh my goodness! You can suddenly, like, after a couple games, maybe you can turn Deion Jackson and a third into a second coming back. Maybe, but if Evan Hull gets out there and scores 15 points 2 games in a row, you're getting a second in an instant, and that's the difference. It's just the perception of what could, flare up and price higher.
Sure. All right, guys, I want to thank Tyler and Mike for coming on with us today. This has been so much fun mocking with you guys. Mike, your draft sucks, but, what can you do?
It always does.
Actually, I think your team might be my favorite. You're pretty stacked, and I'm impressed with the value you got. We got a lot of good teams in this draft, guys. I will be posting this on Twitter through the @FFDinoDiehards Twitter account. So if you're curious to see more about the draft, check it out there. We'll also be posting it on the RazBall website on Friday. If you're not already, guys, I want to make sure that you are following our guests. We've got Tyler O, who is @FFTylerO on Twitter. And make sure you're also following @JWB_FF and @DynastyWarzone, where you can find Tyler's work. And Mike @DaddysHomeFF, still one of my favorite handles on Twitter. Anyone in the fantasy football community. Mr. Sandwiches, thank you so much for coming on with us. Make sure you're following his work @DLFFootball, @DLFFootball on Twitter, and @TrophySmack on Twitter as well. guys, just one more time, just want to say thank you so much. Any parting words, Tyler?
No, you said it. I mean, follow all my content, JWB Dynasty Warzone. Excited for the redraft season start at heart. I'm a redraft awesome. Guy, so pretty stoked that it is the season.
Yep, it's coming. Matt, I want to thank you so much, as always, for being on with me again. Nate,
you're such a good host that you're able to go through these you know, in cadence, you're able to promote these people's work. I'm so impressed every time you do it, honestly. It's awesome. Well,
thank you. I appreciate that. And with that, you've now embarrassed me, and we're out, folks.